Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
I want to introduce a new sermon series this year, amen, for the next few weeks. Inspired to change. Amen. I believe that before you leave today, you're going to be inspired to change. As you draw your attention to the screen, you'll see, you'll notice the light on the other side of the door. Amen. And you know, I know in life many things happen. I know that a number of you are glad that 24 is over, and that and 25 is going to be brighter. Amen. But regardless, I want you to know this. This light on the other side of the door represents for us the best is yet to come. And I believe it's the best is yet to come for every believer who will learn to walk in the light of God's Word. No matter what opposition they face, just like the song we just heard, not only will God not let us down, but if our life is built upon the rock and the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what He's given us, then our life will not be swept away with the storms. Amen. But we'll stand strong and have the victory, ultimately, that God has for us. Amen. So we need to learn to walk in the light of God's Word. Turn with me to Psalms 119 this morning and verse 130. I want to read this from the Amplified Translation. It says, the entrance of God's Word, of the entrance and the unfolding of your Word. So that's God's Word, gives light. Amen. The unfolding gives understanding. How many know we need understanding? The reason we need understanding is because that's how faith comes. And it says, and it defines understanding as discernment and comprehension to the simple. And so in other words, what this is saying is that we don't have to be Einstein to know the things of God. And we don't have to be at some great spiritual level or something to learn from God. All we have to do is be able to look in God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit, who is the author of that Word, to teach us. And when we do, the light, it provides the light, the understanding to us, so that as we walk in the light of it, we can have the victory that light brings and what God designed us to have. Can I get an amen in here today? And so, you know, God is, you know, many times people disqualify themselves. I think this is one reason why God says that the entrance of His Word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. I'm quoting the King James Version. Because many times people think they have to be some spiritual giant for them to understand the Word of God. No, what you need is the great teacher, the Holy Spirit. And this is why coming to a local church that practically teaches the Word of God so it can apply it to your life, then the Holy Spirit speaks to your life, teaches you the Word of God so you can understand it. And it's the application of your understanding. See, it's when understanding comes, faith is there. I'm going to say the moment the light of God's Word shines and you have understanding, faith is there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith comes. And so once we have understanding of God's Word, faith is there. And from there, we can get anywhere. You know, I believe that part of the light, you know, we see that door, amen, of the sermon series. We see the light on the other side of the door. I believe notice the light on the other side of the door is, and the good, I believe it represents the good things that God has for us. Amen. And on the other side of the door, part of that good thing is, or good things, is change itself. Is change itself. We can't be afraid of change. How many know God doesn't want us stuck? And it doesn't make any difference what happened last year. Get it out of your mind and realize that the best is yet to come. If we are children of God, then God doesn't want us beat up, discouraged. Things may happen in life, but God wants to give us answers to questions, the solutions to our problems, and cause us to walk in the light of His Word. And walking in the light of His Word on the other side of that door is not only good things, but it's also change itself. Amen. So starting this new year in prayer, I have felt that God has given me the assignment as your pastor, or the pastor of this church, amen, to help each of us to be inspired to change. It is my job, or part of my job, in this assignment to inspire you and I to change. To inspire the change for more of God in our lives is a wonderful thing. And this is what I'm endeavoring to do. Because God doesn't want us stuck. God doesn't want us satisfied. In other words, satisfied where we're at. We may not be mad where we're at, but I want you to know where God has for you to go is not where just where you're at today. Amen. It doesn't mean where you're at is a bad place. It just means this. Know this. There's more that God has for us. No matter who we are or where we're at. And I want to inspire change for more of God in our lives. And show us what that actually looks like. So this is the purpose of change I want to inspire. It is for us, first and foremost, to be hungry for more of God, but to be more Christ-like. How many know that is the purpose of our life in Christ anyway? To actually be more Christ-like. And whenever God and the things of God become more real to us, whenever God and the things of God that are real, revealed in His Word become more real to us, we are inspired to change. We are inspired to become that. We are inspired to rise to that level. We're inspired to receive from God the things that God has for us. Amen. So no matter how much you have received from God, how many know there's more to receive yet? There's more to walk in yet. And for all of us, and this is the purpose of this series, Inspired to Change. And so I'm going to say this again. Whenever God and the things of God become more real to us, we are inspired to change. Let me give you my own personal experience. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, if I talk about you, you can get mad. But if I talk about me, you can't get mad. I'm just going to give you a personal experience and testimony, my testimony of how this has worked in my own life. You know, I grew up in church, and for 24 years of my life, I thought because I did good things. Notice I said I thought. I thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. I thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child. I thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me, I was right with God. Well, those things in of themselves are not wrong. They're just not how you get right with God. Even asking forgiveness for your sins doesn't get you right with God. It's not until you actually receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that you get right with God. And so you could be like I was and pray a lot of foxhole prayers. Lord, get me out of this. I promise if you get me out of this, I'll never do that again. The problem with that prayer is that you have no power to fulfill that. Because without a heart change by receiving Christ, not just asking God to forgive you, what we actually need to do is repent of our sins, actually repent of our sins, not sorry we got caught, not want the situation just to change or get out of it, but actually repenting, amen, of our sins. That means turning from our way and then doing it God's way and then receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because Jesus Christ is God's way to Him. It's the only way we can be right with God. See, too many times people want their cake and eat it too. In other words, they want to be right with God, but they want to do it some other way than God said to do it. And that's what religion's attempt to do. Religion is really man's search and attempt to know God their own way or some other way other than what God's Word says itself. And so God's Word is a revelation of God to us and what God asks us to do. And He asks us to repent of our sins and to receive His Son in order for our sins to be forgiven. But we need more than our sins to be forgiven. We also need eternal life. And eternal life is in His Son. It's the only way we are born again is by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen? And so in 1986, on March the 30th, I heard a message on that Easter Sunday morning that to actually caused me to respond to God God's way. And when I say I responded to God God's way, it meant I actually came and repented to God for my sin and asked Jesus into my heart and to become the Lord of my life. Up until that point, I believed that there was a God. I believe that Jesus may even be the Son of God, but I never made Him the Lord of my life, and therefore I never had power to change. And you and I will never have power to change outside of the life of Christ within. Because when we receive the life of Christ, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He changes us. He gives us eternal life. And so from that day forward, something changed in me because I had great peace with God. But at that time, Pastor Debbie and I were going to a mainline denominational church, and this church was a little storefront back then. We had family members that attended here. Our church, mainline denominational, that's the one I got saved in. Praise God. Thank you. Thank God. They even in mainline denominations, amen, there's some God-called pastors, and this one and his wife were Spirit-filled, and they preached the Word of God. I heard the Word of God and got born again. And thank God for that. And became immediately, I had great peace with God. I was hungry for God. And one part that played in that was that we had family members that were a part of this local church. Back then it was a little storefront in Matthews, amen, with on-fire, Spirit-filled believers. Hallelujah. And so we didn't have a Wednesday night service, so we went to that Wednesday night service, and man, we heard things that we ain't never heard before. Not things that are outside of this Word, but things that are in this Word that inspired us to realize that God had more for us. We were introduced to what salvation actually meant, how being a new creature in Christ, how that actually changes our life, how to apply that, live that out. We found out things about we being new creatures in Christ, we being the righteousness of God in Christ, God wanting to meet all of our needs according to His riches, glory by Christ Jesus. We found out about healing, which was a big deal to us, that it was God's will for us to be well. Amen. We heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it was a tongue-talking church. And you know, I always grew up, I had always heard, you know, stay away from places like that because that was of the devil. And don't laugh, that a lot of you have been to the same place. You always heard, you know, stay away from that church down there because, you know, they speak in tongues and whatever. Well, listen, newsflash, all the early church spoke in tongues. All the apostles spoke in tongues. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And he said, they shall speak with new tongues. That didn't mean that they stopped cursing. That they probably did, I'm sure they did, and stopped using the name of the Lord in vain, but that's not what it's talking about. They shall speak with new tongues. The scripture makes it clear. So here's the thing. We heard that. But here's the thing I immediately noticed. I noticed that those people, I knew right here, because where I got changed at was right here. When I heard those types of things, it didn't startle me. It actually, I was drawn to it. Because I knew that those people loved God, and those people, amen, had something I didn't have. They had more of God than I had, and I needed that. I was born again, but I knew they had something that was going to take me to the next level. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, when we found out about that, that was part of our endeavor with God and wanting more with God. The point that I'm making in this is there's a lot of things you hear about God. You better find out what God said about what you hear about God. And it's going to come right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it didn't run me off. Matter of fact, it made me think of how many people that didn't know what they were talking about. Because every person I ever heard that say anything about speaking in other tongues and said it was of the devil or wasn't of God or whatever, none of those people were spirit-filled. They didn't qualify talking about that. You know, if my vehicle breaks down, I don't take it to the dentist to get it fixed because he's not qualified to fix my vehicle. At least most of them are. Now, if I in turn break my tooth off, I don't show up at the dealership and say, "Can you fix my teeth?" Because the mechanic ain't qualified to fix my tooth. I'm going to find somewhere that's qualified, and the people that are qualified are the people that got what God has for them. The scripture says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, to him he is a fool." So there's a lot of people talking foolish. Matter of fact, I found out this. The people, that very people that said that it was of the devil, I thought about this. I said, you know what? Before I got saved and I went to the disco, you know, that would date you, won't it? You went to the club or you went dancing or partying and everything. You understand this, shake your booty. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that woke everybody up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What did you call it, Larry? Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, you don't have to tell me. Praise the Lord. But see, whatever you called it or whatever you did, I found out this. If it was of the devil, it should have been there. It should have been there because that place was full of the devil. It was full of adultery, fornication, and all kind of sins, including all the stuff that gets people drunk and out of their minds and all, doing all the crazy things. If it was of the devil, then I should have heard it there, but I never heard it there. So I said, these people don't know what they're talking about. But I knew in my heart once I got born again, this more of God, I needed that. And so we got this. So here's what inspired I said all this because these things inspired more of God in our life. And here's what I found. I found out this. You know, when I used to hear the Word of God preached, you know, it's wonderful what God did for David. It's wonderful what God did to Moses. It's wonderful what God did for the children of Israel. It's wonderful what God did for Paul and for Peter, getting them out of jail and all the things that God did and miracles and everything. But it didn't interest me because nobody ever told me that what God did for them, God wanted to do for me. Nobody ever. But once I found out that those things were written for my learning, that if I learned to do what they did and walk with God, I could get their same results. That changed everything for me. And I wanted to get into this book because before, the only thing I ever read was a manual about a gun or something about hunting and fishing. Come on, don't laugh. There's a lot of people that are just like that. I didn't see any need of this because nobody ever showed me. I didn't see where this would benefit my life. But when I found out that this is relevant today as it was 6,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, or yes, in other words, God would do for me what he did for those people. He worked miracles for me. My life would be changed and my life would be successful if I learned that what was written here was written for me, learn how to apply. That caused me to get in this because I found out this was an inheritance. This was about not only who God was, but who I was and what God had left me. And this is why we made a commitment to come every time the doors was open, because we understood when we came, it was about the reading of the will. I was hearing the reading of the will so I could learn to be changed by God. It was when God and his word became real to me that I was changed, that we were changed. And it inspired ongoing change and changes in our life. Because when you understand that what God can do, a little dab don't do you. Amen. There's always more. Amen. And then learning wasn't boring. It wasn't something I had to do. It's something I looked forward to and I got to do. Amen. And wanted to do. It was actually caused me to dig into this book and in other good books and listen to things that would actually feed my faith, starve my doubt, show me who God was and what God has for me and what He said about me. That's what changed me. And you know what? It'll change you as well. How many can relate to what I'm saying in here all over this place? There's hands all over this place. So the real changes in life. But see, you are here today and you say, well, I've already been changed. I'm on that path. That's good. But there's how many know there's people that may not be totally convinced of that. And so we're working on that. But regardless of how much change we experience, how many know there's the best that yet is still to come? And the real changes in the life of the believer come from us having, listen, a clear understanding. Everybody say clear understanding. A clear understanding of who God is and what God has done for us in and through Jesus Christ and how that and those things affect our lives. That knowledge actually inspires us to want to know and be that. Amen. That's why we must have it. It moves us from formal dead religion, which many people have. They just come to church like I did for duty. They knew it was right, and they did it out of duty, or they got gal religion. I had gal religion. If you're a girl and you're a lady and you're just coming because of the guy, it's gal religion. You understand what I'm saying? But when you get a relationship with God and God begins to work in your life, it moves us from formal dead religion to a living, growing relationship with God and with others. Because, newsflash, when God touches your life, God is not going to call you into isolation from everybody else. Because He's going to call you to touch people. And that means you're not going to be isolated from everybody else. You're not going to, I'm going to meddle with things. You know what? So I just think I'm just going to live off the grid and everything. I get all that. But listen, you need people because you were designed to change people, to touch people, to influence people. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying it's nothing to matter with being sufficient in different stuff, but I'm just saying you can't be a hermit and fulfill the will of God. Amen. Because what you have to understand is God is calling us to make a difference. And I know a lot of times people say, well, you know what, Pastor, me and God are just like this. But it's all those people that I got a problem with. Well, how many know that one person said it like this? Your relationship with people will actually reveal your true relationship with God. And we may find we're not quite as close to God as we think we are. If we treat everybody else wickedly, evil, and have no time for them or no place for them. Amen. Now see, I have to work on this because, I could be an island unto myself. It's wonderful. I could spend, it's easy for me to get with God or spend all day. But I have a wife. I have things I have to do. And I have people to change. There may be times that you have to spend with God that way. But how many know that ultimately when you come out of that you're supposed to be coming out of the phone booth. Amen. Pray. You come out of your phone booth. How many know you're supposed to be Superman, not Clark Kent? Not Clark Kent. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your time with God should change you. Amen. And so when we have a growing relationship with God and others, this inspires change because it causes us to want more of God in our lives. We can't actually taste the things of God and not want more of God, because this is why it says taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Why is that? Because once you taste Him and you really get a taste of Him, you're going to want more of Him. Come on, praise the Lord. This is why we grow by exposure. We need, don't get settled in and say, well, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. First ask yourself, is it in the Bible? And if it's in the Bible, then let's examine it. And then let's say that it must be good for us. And then let's seek God, knowing that God wants us to have those things. Amen. And so if this type of changes, we want more God in our lives, should never stop. And this is what I want to inspire us. Amen. This is the change that I want to inspire more of God. So today's message, I know this is a good introduction today of this series, but today's message, if you're taking notes like many of you do, which I encourage you to do, bring your Bible. Amen. And take notes. This is what I always say. Give us 1 year of your life. Every time the doors are open that you can. Bring your Bible and bring something to write with. Take notes. I know I talk fast. Amen. And, I met some guests first time today. I thank God for them. I think we should put our hands together for all our guests today. And, I say that because in greeting them, the husband had to ask me 3 times, what did I say? Praise the Lord. Now, the reason, there's nothing matter with that. Listen, I hope I'm not embarrassing you and I'm not pointing you out. But the reason everybody's laughing about it, because they had that same problem. Praise the Lord. But good news is they're still here. One of our lead department heads, we were sharing over the Christmas holiday and our last service, and they laughed, and I was just thanking him and his wife. I said, it's wonderful that you and your wife, God spoke to and moved them to this area, and they became a part of this church, and I was just thanking them for that, but thanking God for believing that. Even as they say, God sent us here. And he laughed because he says, you know, it took us, first time that we ever came, we came and I said, did you understand anything he said? Something to that order. Amen. And so I know I've got a strong accent. A lot of times people say, well, where are you from? I'm from right here. Praise the Lord. We go to different places. They say, well, you're from England, you're New Zealand. Amen. Or, Guinea or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Everybody say, thank God for Guinea. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, amen. Glory to God. So people have to learn, but here's what he said was, but what I heard was there was something about what I'm hearing from God, just because you talk funny. I always used to tell the youth that I minister to, I better watch how I say this. I'm a funky talking white boy. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, amen. Slow down, Pastor Chris. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, with that being said, they were just saying, you know what? I had to come back and listen to what you say, because what you said was of God and it helped and it changed our life. It inspired change. That's what I'm endeavoring to do today. So all of us, we always tell people, give us a couple chances, amen. Every service, if you don't like this one, come back to another one. It'll be different. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. So today's message is entitled Inspired by Grace. Inspired by Grace. Or you could call it the grace to change. Amen. When we understand what grace is and what God has provided for us by His grace, it inspires change. I'm going to ask them to put up slide number 8 because we want to talk about this grace. I want to define grace that changes us. God's grace is God's unmerited favor, is God's unmerited, undeserved, and unearned favor to us. Grace means there's nothing we can do to earn it. You know why? Because it's a gift. And things that are gift, you don't have to earn. Grace is God giving and we getting what we don't deserve. How many know that God gave salvation and we can receive it? We don't deserve it. Christ coming and dying for us, Him giving His life for us, we didn't deserve. The grace of God that brought salvation in Jesus Christ is God giving and we getting what we don't deserve. Grace combines the two ideas of God's favor and God's blessing, and that is the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And we have a definition. I love it when the Bible defines it for us. And it says, Paul said, and he said unto me, this is the Lord saying to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, everybody say strength, is made perfect in weakness. Notice the Bible defines God's grace as God's strength or his power. So God's grace is God's strength or power to do in our lives what we're unable to do in and of ourselves. How many know we're unable to change ourselves? We're unable to make ourselves right with God. But God's grace enables us to come, if we come through Jesus Christ, to do all things, to receive salvation and everything that salvation provides, and to walk with God and to receive all of his glorious blessings because, amen, it is God's strength and power to do in our lives what we're unable to do in and of ourselves. Listen to me. This means that God's grace is God's ability, power, or strength given us to do, to fulfill, and to complete his will for our lives. That's pretty powerful. If we want to do, fulfill, and complete God's will for our life, how many know we're going to need the grace of God? And so this is the grace to change. And this is the change that I want to inspire, the more of God. Wanting more of God is always going to mean that you're going to be accessing more of the grace of God. And this is the power to change. Amen. Praise God. And have the things of God transpire in our lives. And in Philippians chapter 2, turn there with me. We're going to read verse 12 and 13 after I make this statement again. God's grace is God's ability, power, and strength given to us to do, fulfill, and complete his will for our lives. This scripture, or portion of scripture, illustrates this wonderfully because it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice it did not say, put that back up. It did not say, work for your own salvation. You don't work for your own salvation. You work out your own salvation. Salvation you do not work for because it is a gift of grace. But once saved, you work out, you complete it by the grace of God. That's why it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, take what's happened to you, find out what's happened to you, and by that power, let that be manifested through your life as it touches other people's lives. Because whatever God's done to you, get it straight, church, God wants to do through you. When he saved you, he had someone else on his mind. When he filled you with the Holy Ghost, he had someone else on his mind. When he healed you, he had someone else on his mind. When he blesses you and helps you, yes, you are on his mind, but he has someone else on his mind, and what becomes real to you by this change will ultimately become real through you. And this is why it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it implies you're not to be stuck. Amen. The salvation that's happened inwardly is to be manifested outwardly. In other words, there's no such thing as don't supposed to be undercover Christians. Secret servant, service Christians. No, you're supposed to live out loud for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about being big mouth. I'm talking about showing and doing the works of Jesus. Okay, verse 13. It says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. This is why I say, by the grace of God, you have, notice it says, which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The word will there means causing you to have a desire. That God's desire is in us if we're his children, to do his will, to change. And by the grace of God, this is how we can change. And to do his good pleasure, that means he gives us the power to do it. The grace is the power we depend upon. to change and to work this out to the completion of God's will for his life. Verse 13 of the Amplified Translation, I believe, is where we want to go, or it is. Notice we'll start midway of the verse, Amplified Translation, verse 13. Not in your own strength. Grace enables us to operate in God's strength, not in our own strength. Not in our own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. We do all this by the grace of God. Now, they're not going to put these other thoughts up, but here's a few other thoughts about the grace of God that you can write down. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us to be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, just like Joshua was told by Moses to be a strong and of good courage, it was an exhortation by the power of God to do what God's assignment is. God's grace gives us that same ability. In other words, God's grace empowers us to live our life for him. It affects how we live. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, just write it down. It says, this grace, the grace of God, is multiplied through our knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. This is why the knowledge of God, where do we get the knowledge of God from? The Bible. This is why we hunger and thirst for the Word, because it is the Word that gives us this knowledge. Amen. The knowledge of this grace in which we are changed by and want more. It causes us to be hungry and thirsty for God when we know what God has done for us. It causes us to love Him more, to want Him more, His will and His way in our life, to not be stuck. Don't think we have to compromise and stay the way we are. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, write it down. It tells us that we can grow in the grace of God. So that's good. Today you may say, I know everything that you're talking about today, Pastor Chris, I concur for it, but I want us to know we can still grow in the grace of God, and I want to inspire the change that caused 2025, that no matter who we are, want to grow in this grace. Come on, can I get an amen? And then in Ephesians, write this down, Ephesians 4:29, it is, he says that our words will impart grace. Our words should impart grace, the grace that will inspire change. And that's my prayer today. The words that I speak, and the grace that I'm talking about, my words will impart this grace that will inspire the change for God and in our lives this year. Us wanting more of God and us wanting more of God, us receiving what God has and causing us to move forward by His mighty power. So, what we must understand, that there is nothing that we have and nothing we can do to earn God's grace. Do you get that? Nothing we have or nothing we can do to earn God's grace, or it wouldn't be the grace of God. And grace is not only what God freely gives us, but it's part of who He is. He is loving and gracious. Amen. It's part of His nature and character, and it's all for us, and it all benefits us. Amen. And that should inspire us. It should inspire us to want to know Him and know more of what He's provided for us. This alone should inspire change in us, knowing His love for us and His graciousness to us. But in that being said, here's what we have to do in moving forward. We have to get our thinking straightened out. How many know that's always the case? Look at your neighbor and say, that's always the case. It's always the case that we have to get our thinking straightened out. Because here's what I'm saying. We can want to do the right thing, but do it for the wrong purposes and it doesn't affect our lives the way it's supposed to. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. The changes I'm endeavoring to inspire all of us in will not make any of the changes that I'm talking about to inspire us in will not make God love us more. Us changing, you got to get it straight, won't cause God to love us more. He already loves us. For God so loved the world, even while we were yet sinners, God loved us. He didn't love what we did and what we do wrong. He loves us. So we're not doing these things to get God to love us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He so loved the world, He already loves us. No, but the changes we make do prove our love for Him. It won't make God love us anymore, but it proves our love for Him, because John chapter 14, verse 15, it says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So the things that we're doing, the changes we're doing in life, never makes God love us more, but it shows that we love God. Because if we love Him, we are to keep His commandments. So we got to get our thinking straight. And the changes I'm endeavoring to inspire all of us in will not make God accept us. We're only accepted one way before God, and that is through or by Jesus Christ. Did you know Ephesians 1:6 says it like this? To the praise of the glory of His grace. Everybody say, the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace means it's all because of His free gift of grace and what He's done here, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Listen, what this is letting us know is that one translation says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, or as one translation says, or in the one He loved, Christ. Hallelujah. In other words, we're accepted in the Beloved means the one that God has accepted and the one that God's love is Christ. We're in Christ. That's how we're accepted. If we're not in Him, if we didn't come that way, we can't be accepted anyway. So if we're in Him, this doesn't make, in other words, the things we're doing doesn't make God accept us more. This change I'm talking about is not, get it out of your mind, it's going to cause God to love us more, accept us more, because God already loves us, and God only accepts us one way, and that way is coming His way, and His way is Jesus. We are only accepted because we're in Him. So what I'm saying to you is this: we can't earn His love, favor, or acceptance. We have it. We have it if we're in Christ. And it's been shown to us by Jesus Christ. What we need to do is just learn about it and accept it. Because remember, grace is a gift. It's free. You can't earn it. We just need to know that God has given it, what that looks like, and then accept it. This is why grace should inspire us. This is why it gives us the power to change, to live for God, and to be more Christ-like. Do you get that? Okay, let me go a little deeper in this. Can I? Everybody tell me, go deeper, Pastor. Okay, well, this won't drown nobody, but it will help you. You may know it, but I can tell you there's a lot of people that think that, see, I have to make all these changes to get God to love me. I got to make all these changes for God to accept me. No. He already loves you. He might not love what you're doing, but He loves you. Amen. And there's only one way that we can be accepted, is that's coming God's way through Jesus Christ. If we're in Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved or in Christ. Grace, however, so even though it's a free gift and it means there's nothing we can do to earn it, grace, however, doesn't mean we have no responsibilities and that we don't do something or have anything to do. But we do them from a different point of view, and that inspires the right change in our lives. The godly things that I want to inspire change in. Just think about some of the simple things that I would want as a pastor to inspire change in. Just think about this for a moment. Even the things that we already are doing or need to improve on in our life, like, how about this? Time in the Word of God. Reading and studying the Bible. That not being an afterthought. We're giving actually God first place in this. How about meditating and confessing scriptures? How about praying? How about going to church? See, these are the godly things I want to inspire change in us for. But I want us to understand, get that thinking straight. These things that I'm wanting to inspire change in are not for God. They don't change God, they change us. We're the ones that need to be changed. They're there for us. Those things we do are for us, not for God to love us or accept us. They're for us. They change us. None of those are for God's benefit. If you think that you reading, you praying, you studying is somehow benefiting God, they're not for God. They're for our benefit. Hallelujah. Those things are right to do. How many know that what things are right to do? At time in the Word, reading, studying, meditating the Bible, confessing the Scripture, praying and going to church. Those are right things to do, but they don't change God. If we are doing them out of just duty and thinking they make God love us more, thinking they change God and what He will do for us, then we're totally wrong. These things never change God. If we are doing them thinking they change God's view of us and love for us and ultimately what He will do for us, then we are mistaken, we are wrong, and we're doing it out of the wrong motive. And this is where we struggle because people get this wrong idea. So let me change the and give you the right perspective. But if we do these things, what things? Like the things I said, time in the Word, reading and studying the Bible, meditating and confessing Scriptures, praying and going to church, all things that we should be changing in, growing in. If we do these things, and these things we do because, if we do them because we love God and want to know Him better and realize doing these things change us and help us, this is the change I want to inspire. I'm getting into this not to get God to love me or God to accept me. I'm getting into this so that I can know God better, know His will and His way. Amen. And this is the change I want to inspire. It changes me by getting into this. It never changes God. These things helps us to change by knowing what He has provided by His grace. This is why I get into this, because I find out what He has provided by His grace. His grace are free gifts. His Word is not, it's for us, all of us, the simple. Come on. God has to, He comes down to our, on our level. We don't have to say simple. God says, I just didn't make this hard for you. I made it so everybody could get and access me. Hallelujah. These things help us change, help us and change us by knowing what God has provided by His grace, and therefore produces faith in our heart about God and what He has already given and made available to us. That's what we need, faith in our heart by God. The reason a lot of times people don't have faith in God is because they spend time doing the wrong thing. Instead of just accepting God's love and knowing we're accepted, we're trying to do all these things thinking that this will change God's love for me and acceptance of me. And this is how God hears me, because I spent 5 more minutes, so I did this, I did that, I jumped through the hoops. That's not grace. That's not true. But if I understand I'm doing this actually because God said, this is how it actually helps you to know the grace that He's given so you can actually receive what He's given you to have, then you're thinking right. Hallelujah. So you see, the things we do like reading, studying, meditating, confessing, and praying is not for God anyway. They're for us. They change us. This is why I want to inspire that change. They change us. Hallelujah. When you find out that this is hidden in here, they're hidden for us, not from us. The things of God and the things that God has provided for us, then it causes us to be hungry for God and the things of us. These are the things that when understood and done right that I'm talking about today. These simple things, understood and done right, these are the things that change us, because now I'm approaching God a whole new way. I'm not trying to jump through some hoop to make Him love me or accept me. I've already settled that. He does. I'm doing this. Matter of fact, I'm not even reading, praying, come to church for God. I'm doing it to help and change me. Doing it for me. Now, that's not selfish. God said, but when I understand, listen, I'm not trying to get God do something for me. I'm understanding this is what I need. This changes me. This is how I'm changed. This is why Jesus said, know the truth and the truth will make you free. Yes, and by doing it this way, you are saying that you love God, because if you love Him, you will keep His commandments. Hallelujah. Grace inspires change because grace reveals what God freely has given us. The things we do, like that we want to inspire change in, more time in the Word, prayer, study, confession, coming to church, the things that we do, amen, help reveal and bring understanding to us of the things of God, which produces faith in our hearts, amen, whereby which we can receive from God. Come on, Brother Ryan, and help me for one moment. See, today, just think about this. Ephesians chapter 2, this will be true not just for salvation, it's true about everything. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace, that's God's gift, are you saved through faith. So salvation's a gift that must be received. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith. So actually both grace and faith are gifts. Because you can't have faith outside of the grace of God. Because the grace of God reveals what God gives you. And once you know what God gives you, the moment you have understanding what God gives, then that produces what is called faith. This is why by grace through faith are you saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Let's read this together. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that right? And so you're here today, and I'm telling you that the grace of God is here for all of us. This is how you got saved. It's when you found out what God did by His grace. He gave His Son. He gave His Son who died for our salvation. So salvation is a gift, and it must be received by faith. Amen. Because it cannot be by works. In other words, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. It's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He already loves you. But love is not the question. At least God's love for you is not the question. The question is, do you love God? And God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what we do is that grace inspires us to come to God, and it invites us to receive from God. It tells us what God wants us to have. Salvation. God's grace reveals what He's given us. It's called salvation. Not only salvation, but just think about it, salvation one moment. And so that inspires our faith, or gives us faith, which both salvation, amen, is a gift, grace is a gift, and faith is a gift. It's all from God. And what we have to do is just accept it. And the moment we do, that is understood, and it produces faith, then when we receive Christ, we're born again. That's how you all got born again. That's how all of us got born again. And so we're here today, and we rejoice in the grace of God. I want to inspire this change. I'm not quite finished, but I want to say this. You know, as a church, we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. I remember doing a funeral not too long ago, and there was a gentleman at that funeral that I was talking to afterwards. It wasn't here. it was someone else, somewhere else, and I did the funeral, and I was talking to this gentleman that I knew who he was and knew a little bit about his background, and I still talked to him at the church it was at, and they had a meal for the family and so on and so forth, and I was talking to him about life. I knew what he did, and then I began to talk to him about Jesus, and I began to share with him and talk to him about God loving him, and he kept saying, "I hope so." You know, there's a lot of people that hope God loves them. Well, the only reason they don't know God loves them because you and I haven't told them. And the only other reason they don't know that God loves them because they don't know what His Word says. You can't know outside of God's Word, because God's Word produces faith. This is why I said, "Did you know God loves you?" He goes, "Well, I sure hope so." I said, "Well, it's not a hope so, it's a know so." And here's why. I begin to quote the scripture to him. "God so loved the world," that includes you, sir, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on Him will not perish but have everlasting life." So I went and began to show him from the Word of God what it took to be right with God. And, you know, the scripture says that he that has the Son, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that has the Son has eternal life. He that does not have the Son does not have eternal life. You know, I know whether I got keys in my pocket or not. I got them right here. If you got Jesus in your heart, you know you got Jesus in your heart, because you know you asked Him in. If you have a question about that, don't stay in that question. Make a conscious decision to make Him the Lord, and know. You should know, because salvation is a know-so. It's not a hope-so. It's too late if you die and it's a hope-so. It's a know-so, and it's based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ, asking Him to become the Lord of your life. So we went around that circle, and I come back to him, and I said, "Sir, I want you to know that's how much God loves you." And he says, "I hope so." And I said, "No, we've already gone through that. And here's how you know." And then he said something that you've heard me say even today, and I've said many other times, and I thought it was very profound. That man got it. He understood. Even though he didn't make a decision. You know, not making a decision is still a decision. It's called rejection of Jesus Christ. And do you know that's the only sin that sends us to hell? Not because God wants us to go there, but we've rejected the only way to get to heaven. When we reject Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven, we signed our own ticket to hell. God didn't. God didn't send us to hell. We send ourselves by rejecting Jesus Christ. So get that straight. So here's what that man looked at me. He goes, "So I guess what this means." Now listen what he said, because you've heard me say this before. He said, "I guess what that means is not a question, does God love me? The question is, do I love God?" I said, "Sir, you got it. You hit the nail right on the head." And this is, if you love Him, then you keep His commandment. And that commandment is to make Him the Lord, Jesus, the Lord of your heart, so you can have peace with God. So, forget that man one moment. Think about you. God loves that man. God loves you. And if you never made that commitment, God invites you to make Him the Lord. Show God you love Him. Then the question is not, does God love us? He does. You may have been lied to by life, by the devil, by people that blame all the things on God that's bad happened in your life. God didn't do that. The devil did. I'm just going to let you in on it. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Today, I'm letting you know that Jesus did not take your loved one, your family member, because he needed another flower in heaven. People say things well-meaning, but it's not right. It's not the Bible. And they end up making people mad at God. I know because I've had funeral home directors sit in our service and say, come to me afterwards and say, "Pastor, I had a funeral home business in Florida for X amount of years, and I can't tell you how many pastors I heard say, God need another flower in heaven. God took your loved one. He knows what He's doing, and yada, yada, yada." And he said, "I've never seen one person that helped. I only saw people that got mad at God ultimately." And I'm here today to tell you that's exactly what it was designed to do. Get you mad at God. Keep you away from God. Keep you out of a place where you can hear the word of God. And today I tell you that's a lie. God loves you. But it's not the question, does God love you? Do you love God? God's grace shows His loving kindness to you. And He expects that when you see that, He believes you'll respond to that. Because He'll change you from the inside out, just like He did me, just like He's done person after person in here. Will you bow your hearts and heads with me in closing today? Father, I thank You for each and every person.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.